Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 56 of a 260-chapter series, Where Fitz Left Off. And it covers the WHKP years from 1946 to 96. The area's earlier history was covered and broadcast by Frank L. Fitzsimmons, and later became the all-time local bestseller in a trilogy set. Today, we'll look back 31 years ago today. That would be April 1st, 1965, when a local newspaper went berserk. April 1st, 1965, and 4,400 families in Henderson County were stunned, that was the circulation of the paper, when they started reading what they thought was the old weekly newspaper, the Carolina Tribune, the Western Carolina Tribune, edited and published then by John Scholer. After reading just a few paragraphs, readers by this time in a state of shock flipped back to the front page and noted that the masthead had been changed that day to read the Coonskin Crusader, and in very small type, a special edition of the Western Carolina Tribune. It was All Fool's Day, the day for April Fool jokes, but no one had ever seen a whole newspaper published as an April Fool's prank. On the front page, there was a banner headline concerning a huge cotillion to be staged May 1st. The article read, and I'll only quote excerpts here, and I'll not attempt to try to read the broken French that John had attempted. I'll just give you the English translation. And I'm quoting now. The Grand Dame of Zirconia Society will be Geneva Bowden, who will lead the first dance of the evening, wearing a Paris original croaker sack, adorned with swift and armor configurations. Another excerpt. The limelight was then focused on Madame Gertrude Arledge. Her Dior gown was a flowing pot de soie caught at the plunging neckline by a red cabbage rose. The article continued. The event was held at the Terrace Hill Roller Rink, which was beautifully decorated with Heineken beer cans and Lab O' Ham sherry bottles with corn stalks and sugar weeds imported by Tony Lefebvre. Another excerpt. The beautiful affair was climaxed with the guests adjourning for the midnight nuptials. And I'm going to leave out the name of the very lovely lady, a real class person in this community, who Scholer chose to vilify. But the article said that she and Don Gilmore, Esquire, who worked for us here at HKP and was an executive with the United Way, these two would be wed. She would wear an imported seaweed skirt, while for the gown she chose a barrel of cypress. Mr. Frank L. Fitzsimmons sang with deep feeling Parlez-vous Francais and the Marine Hymn. And the further you read, the worse it got. William V. Powers, who was chief police, then was quoted as saying he proposed to eliminate all signs on one-way streets. This would help to eliminate many citizens who have complained about the new traffic patterns. Scholer had Dan Gibson announcing on behalf of First Union Bank that they would now offer free loans with no interest for a period of 5 years if you'd buy a new Jaguar. In a column titled Meandering with People, he wrote, Ruth Samoshko has been asked to serve with the Henderson County Commissioners, and Catherine Edney has accepted a job at WHVL as promotional manager. In this wild, unbelievable April Fool's edition of the Western Carolina Tribune, the publisher, John Scholer, wrote, Eleanor Cosgrove was hostess for the 10-year Natives Club. She served pinto beans a la fatback, crackling cornbread, and sweet potato souffle. He wrote, The children of this area will be happy to know that the Ray Chamberlains will open an alligator and reptile farm on Laurel Drive, and that Smiley McCall was planning a 4th of July possum barbecue for city officials. Scholer had a big story that Monroe Redden was promoting an all-star baseball team here to play the Mets. He wrote that Don Guerin would play right field, Nick Samoshko, a liberal Democrat, would be in left, and Ray Cantrell would handle center field in order to maintain a neutral attitude. He said Frank Fitzsimmons owned the field and had leased the parking concession to Ben Prince and to Jody Barber. He said concessions were going to be handled by Northington and Edney. After you'd read through this April Fool's edition of the Western Carolina Tribune, published on this day in 1965, the one word was incredulity. Never in the history of journalism had any newspaper anywhere before been known to attack virtually any and everybody in his editorial that day, and he ended up by saying, it was just in fun. The paper would last for 7 more years before it ceased to exist. Another memory of this seventh child of a seventh child who was lucky enough to be born here, good sense never to leave, and with a job he's loved all of his life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.